I am reading from the 6th chapter of Judges. And I just want to read the first verse before I pull out my text, because this will show you the conditions that the people lived in that day. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. The book of Judges is filled with a statement such as this, that the people of God did evil in his sight. And he raised up certain judges to judge the people. And Gideon is the one by name in this particular chapter. And I'm going to use this particular scripture from verse 13 from the 6th chapter. And I'm going to pull it right out when Gideon talks to the angel. And he says, where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? Where are his miracles? The man that God is going to use to bring deliverance to his people. They have never seen a miracle, but they were told miracles by their fathers. Like some of you who are in my audience and some of you who are listening to the broadcast, you have been told that God is a miracle worker, but you have never seen him perform a miracle. I believe in miracles. Not long ago, I was on the PTL broadcast with Brother Jim Baker for 2 solid hours, and he said to me, Brother Shambach, what was the greatest miracle you ever saw? Not what I heard, but what I saw. And I had the pleasure of telling the millions of people that were watching that telecast what the greatest miracle was that I have ever seen in my life. And I've come to you people here in this city to let you know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, and he's the same today, and he will be the same tomorrow. He is a miracle worker. If he can just find somebody who will believe his word, somebody that will believe his word, and I want to be that one person. Don't you want to be that person? A miracle of God. Now, when you talk about miracles, first of all, you have to give a definition of what the word miracle means. So I found a good definition, and I want to share it with you. A miracle is an event beyond the power of any known physical laws to produce. Let me repeat it. It's an event beyond the power of any known physical laws to produce. A physical law cannot produce it. But God is not bound by the physical laws. He can do something beyond the laws. Can you shout amen, somebody? And keeping this in mind, I don't care what the doctor told you. I believe that God can heal cancer. When the doctor says you're going to die, Jesus said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. There are miracles of healing. There are miracles that God performs in the home. There's miracles in the mind, and there's miracles in the spirit. Now, may I begin by saying the greatest miracle is when God reaches down into the filth of sin and picks up a soul and washes him in his blood, puts a robe of righteousness on him, and writes his name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and he calls him son. This is the miracle of all miracles. Can I catch an amen somewhere? Now, this isn't television, this is radio, so you're going to have to make some noise with me now. And when I say something you agree with, shout amen. And if I say something you don't like, holler amen anyhow. Because it's the word of God anyway. Can you shout praise the Lord, somebody? I have always always learn that in the science of logic, that the lesser is included in the greater. Now, bringing this into the spiritual realm, if the salvation of the soul is the greater miracle, which I believe is the greater miracle, if you can employ faith to become a child of God, then the lesser miracle is already incorporated in that miracle that you have received. What I'm trying to say is this, that if you are a child of God, then you are already healed by His power in the sight of Almighty God. Can you shout praise the Lord, somebody? Hallelujah! But God works miracles outside the church realm. And here Gideon is talking to an angelic host. And he says, where is the miracle? The ones we were told about. Gideon wanted to see it with his own eyes. And I believe that this is the cry of the church today. I don't care whether you have seen a miracle or not. God is still a God of miracles. And He's the same today as He was yesterday. God proved it to Gideon. And God is going to prove it to His church today. This is second generation Pentecost. Some of you have never witnessed a miracle. Some of you aren't even saved. You're caught up in that born-again syndrome. Just because you're a member of the church, you think you're born again. You have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. But God said to come out from the world and be separated and touch not the unclean thing. And then I will be your God and receive you unto myself. God is a miracle worker. Can you shout amen? Not long ago, I was preaching a message how God brought Israel out of bondage from the whiplash of Pharaoh. All he had was a rod in his hand. And he stood before the Red Sea. Mountains on either side and a sea in front of him. And Pharaoh behind him. And some of us today know what it is to be caught between the devil and the deep blue sea. Looks like there ain't no way out. And Moses gets on his face and he says, Lord, what shall I do? God says, what's that thing I put in your hand? He said, a rod. He said, why don't you use the thing then? Stretch it out over the water. Moses stretched the rod over the water, and all of a sudden the Red Sea backed up on either side. And my Bible says they walked over on dry ground. God performed a miracle and brought deliverance to His people. Can you shout praise the Lord? Now, I know some people don't believe that. Every time I mention this on radio, I get a letter from a school teacher. I always get a letter from a school teacher. I have a church in Philadelphia around the University of Pennsylvania, and I had some young students, and they heard me preach this. And after the service, several of them gathered around and said, I love the story that you quoted, but it's wrong. Well, I said, straighten me out. They said, the Red Sea, the water did not back up. We were told that there was only 2 inches of water in the Red Sea at that time. I said, who told you that? Our professor in the university. There's always some professor trying to take the miraculous out of the Word of God. Well, I said, you go back and tell your professor that let every man be a liar, but let God be true. If He said it, He'll do it. And if He spoke it, He's going to bring it to pass. But I said, now wait a minute. Let's just say for once that your professor's right. What if there was only 2 inches of water? Man, that's a greater miracle. Oh, no, it's not. It takes the miracle away. I said, no, it doesn't. If there was only 2 inches of water in the Red Sea, I said, go on and read it. My Bible says that God drowned the whole Egyptian army in 2 inches of water. Man, that's a greater miracle than what God did. But I said, I refuse to believe what the devil says. I believe what the Word of God states. If God backed the water up, then I believe it's backed up. If the Bible states so, then I believe it. God is a God of miracles, and He's still performing miracles today. I'm reading from the book of Judges, chapter 6, verse 13. Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? How comes we gotta go through this? And where be all his miracles? That's my text. Where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And I believe that this is apropos for the church today, because there are people that are crying the same thing. If there's a God in heaven, how come he allows all this to happen? You've heard it. If there's a God, how come there was a Vietnam? If there's a God in heaven, how come 50 hostages are still captive in Iran? Don't blame God for all this mess we're in. We're in this mess because of our sin. I read this first verse to you on a prior broadcast. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. This is the reason why we're going through situations, because this nation of ours, our beloved America, it was a Christian nation. I said was a Christian nation. But America needs a revival. And I'm going to blow the trumpet in Zion. If we're going to have a revival, it's got to start in the church. The church is dead, and it needs to come alive in this last day that we are living in. Can you shout amen, somebody? Hallelujah! Revival means bringing back to life that which is dead. But a revival can only come through the miraculous. I want to ask you three questions. Why does God perform miracles? Why? Let's ask it. Why does God perform miracles? And I believe I got the answer. First of all, man is subjected and is controlled by natural laws. And the only way to captivate or to arrest his attention is to transcend or supersede these natural laws. God cannot get to the attention of man unless he sees something that's going to astonish him. And it's got to come through a miracle. And I believe that the Bible bears me out in this, because there are two particular, well, there's more than two, but I have just time to talk about two. Moses, first of all, the first 40 years of Moses' life, he was a nothing, or he was a somebody. He was the son of Pharaoh, raised in Pharaoh's house. He was the prime minister, captain in the army. He was next in succession to the king. And yet God spared his life when he was a baby, because he had a plan for him. But because he was somebody, God couldn't make something out of him. He was already somebody. So the second 40 years of Moses' life, God had to banish him to the backside of the desert, where he was alone with nobody but his wife and mother-in-law. Now that's alone. For 40 more years, here he is, 80 years of age, just when people are thinking, well, I'm retired now, I'm a senior citizen, but you are just getting ripe for God to pick up and put it out on the front line and let him channel his power through you as an individual. I didn't get too many old amens on that from the old folks. Some of you are ready to retire when you're 48. Moses was 80. And in order to get Moses' attention, God had to perform a supernatural act. He was out taking care of the sheep when all of a sudden he saw a bush on fire. Now, there's nothing supernatural about a bush burning. But I said this transcends the natural. Watching a bush burn is nothing supernatural. But what was supernatural about this was, that it wasn't burning up. It was a fire, but it wasn't burning up. And Moses said, what is this strange sight? I got to step aside and see this thing. And God knows how to get you and put a hook in your jaw. Can you say amen? And no sooner than Moses got close to the bush. Now here's a series of miracles. A voice came out of the bush. Moses! Ah! And then you ask the preacher, are you trying to scare me? Don't let God do it. He knows how to do it. Moses, take the shoes off your feet, for whereon thou standest is holy ground. And Moses kicks the shoes off and says, yes, Lord. He's talking to a bush now. And God speaking to him out of a burning bush, he said, I have called you to be the deliverer of my people. And you're going to stand before Pharaoh and say, thus saith the Lord, let my people go. A miracle. Moses said, oh Lord, I'm slow of speech. God said, goody, I'll put the words in your mouth. You don't have to have the gift of gab for God to pick you up. You can be totally dumb, but when God calls you, he'll put words right in your mouth. Can you shout amen, somebody? God performed a miracle to arrest this man's attention, to turn him aside so he could talk to him. In the New Testament, there's another one. An individual by the name of Jesus. A man called Jesus who told his disciples, get in the ship and go to the other side. I'll see you over there on the next boat. But I got to go pray a while. And you know the story. Jesus took too long praying. Of course, you won't find that trouble in the church today. But Jesus prayed too long and the last boat pulled out. But because his word has already been given and said, I'll meet you on the other side, Jesus said, I got to get over there. So the best way to go, and you all got a lot of water around you here, I dare you to try it in the morning. All Jesus did was step out on the water, and he started walking on the water. Did he do it? This is the Bible. Now, this is a miracle. If you don't think walking on water is a miracle, try it. There's a law of gravity that declares that you will sink. How come Jesus didn't sink? It was a miracle. And here he caught up to the boat. And the disciples saw him and said, ah! Got scared to death. And some said, it's Jesus. Nah, ain't nobody walks on water. Now, if he'd have came to him in a boat, they wouldn't have been worried. But he come to him out there walking on water. He said, it looks like him. He says, I know it looks like him, but maybe it's his ghost. Peter says, I know how to find out whether it's him or not. Hey, Lord, if that's you, if, don't just sound like a Pentecostal saint. If that's you, Lord, bid me to come out there where you are. And all Jesus said was, come. Peter didn't have a lick of sense, but get them number 12s outside the boat. And he started walking, and it says he walked on water. Peter did what Jesus did. But when he took his eyes off of Jesus and he heard the noise and the waves, he saw them, he began to sink and he cried out, Lord, save me. And Jesus reached down and picked him up and said, wherefore didst thou doubt? Peter did something that no other human being ever did. It was a miracle of walking on water. And God is doing things today like he did yesterday. If you need a miracle, raise your hands and shout praise the Lord with me, somebody.